Though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. And I was listening to Betsy play that so beautifully and watching the words, and there is this mystery that we don't fully understand, the providential sovereign rule of God over all things. Yet, God even works within human agency and giving individuals their choices to make, the consequences of their choices, the blessings of their choices. And in God, allowing individuals the freedom, the power to make their choices, yet not taking away from his sovereignty. That's a mystery I don't understand. How many of you are glad that you're not God? I'm glad that God is God. And for him, he has everything well in his hand. Though I have to tell you, there are things that are concerning, but our God is still our God. And our hope is in him. And so days like these days in our country and in our world, but I think of our country particularly, our beloved country, that for which we are grateful. No other country in the history of the world like this country. And we're very concerned. I know we are. Yet, God is still God. And he is still faithful and he is still true. Well, let's talk about core values. Remember, I mentioned to you this morning at 10:30. I'm not sure if I did it 8:15 service. But I mentioned at 10:30 this morning about our mission. It's really our driving force to glorify God by developing and deploying disciples in this generation for the next. That's a driving force. We've talked a lot, and if you're a member here, you know this, because when you came through Starting Point class or New Members class, whatever it was called when you went through, we talked about the perspectives of ministry, those principles that guide us. Every year in the fall of the year, around our anniversary time, I will take a service and talk about those perspectives and reorient and really recast a vision for the principles that guide us here. But then, tonight we're going to talk about core values. And these really are defining or descriptive statements about who we are and who we want to be. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about these. There are five of them. I'm going to explain the wording behind each of the five words that really are the title of each. And then I'm going to do a passage and I'm going to preach through that passage. It sounds like it's going to be long. I don't think it will be. But then again, you never know. It could be long. And reality is, my idea of long is probably not your idea of long. You know what I mean? And how many of you found this, that the preacher doesn't think it's that long, but the person in the pew thinks it's a lot longer than the preacher does, all right? So it's probably good for a preacher to remember that sometimes, all right? So let's talk about these five values. You see them displayed behind me. They're going to be projected as well. The first of these is distinct. And let me read it for you. We aren't like everybody else. Without apology, we seek to be authentically transformed people with transformed and meaningful worship that uniquely reflects our holy God. You know, really, we are like everybody else. And so I would say, let's embrace it. This description describes the kind of people we are and the kind of people we want to be. We want to be the kind of people that truly are different and transformed. We aren't the kind of people that live a life like everybody else the rest of the time, and then we come to church and we put on the holy suit. But everything else, we talk about the same way and we live the same way and have the same values as everybody else out there in the workplace, and there's no difference between me and you and you and me, and there's no difference in outlook. There's no everything, we're like everybody else. We come to church and it's all the same. And I'd say no, we are unique people because we are people who represent and know a holy God. So it describes the kind of people we want to be, and it describes the kind of place we are and that we want to be. We want to be a place that is different and transformed. So the scripture then is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's lift our voices and say it together. Are you ready? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This passage then reminds us and begins with the word, I'll give you four words, presentation. As a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. A sacrificial life, giving ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ. A second word is the word consecration. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A third word that is really descriptive of this passage is the word transformation. Be not conformed to this world, fit into its mold, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what is seen in our lives is unique and different. But not only that, if that's all we have conformity. And God's not after conformity. God's after transformation. And transformation takes place in the heart and the mind, a mind that is transformed. And when your mind is transformed and your thinking is aligned with God's thinking, then your life transforms from the outside. But really, transformation is an internal work that God does in our lives. And then this passage ends with a wonderful affirmation about the will of God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you believe that about the will of God? It's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. And when you believe this about the will of God, what happens is you do not run from the will of God, but you embrace the will of God. This is not a struggle with God. This now becomes a working with God as God works in your life. And because His will is good, we embrace it and we follow Him and we give ourselves to Him. We are, as a people, our desire is to be distinct. Well, then there's the second core value. The next core value is the value with this one word, proactive. I'll read for you the description. With gratitude for the good things God has done, we prayerfully expect God to work in our lives and call us to follow Him by faith into new horizons of ministry and personal growth. And I think it is very important for us always to remember with gratitude God's faithfulness. And Brother Earnshaw talked about it tonight, and everything give thanks. And church, as we look back over the years that this church has enjoyed, the stint that we have shared together prior to the time when any of us was ever here at this church, to look back with gratitude at God's faithfulness to us is wonderful. And so while we never want to be ungrateful for the goodnesses of God in the past and reflect on them and find joy and hope and praise to the Lord for them. But I want you to notice something else, though, that our expectation is this, that God is working. Our expectation is that God will lead us to follow Him into new horizons of ministry and new opportunities. It is our expectation that the Lord wants to do things in our lives, not just as a ministry, but He wants to do things in our lives personally so that we follow the Lord proactively, not passively or reactively, but anticipating that we are going to follow the Lord into new things that He's going to do. And I really believe that God is going to be faithful to Himself and faithful to us in this matter. The passage that it goes with this is Hebrews chapter 6. Excuse me, 11 verse 6. Let's lift our voices and say it together. Are you ready? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the basis of pleasing God is faith. All throughout the Bible, the basis of pleasing God is faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is a chapter about what topic? You tell me. Faith, yeah. It's that hall of faith. And this is a record in Hebrews chapter 11 of individuals throughout biblical history who by faith believed God. And what a list of people. Outstanding people. Some people that really in some parts of their lives weren't all that outstanding. They were people that you or I may probably not admire. But yet they believed God by faith and God was gracious to them. You see people, and the end of, some of these are named and you know. Some of these are people that are unnamed, but they're heroes of the faith that believed God and they saw God do wonderful things in their lives. Others of them, when you read the latter part of the chapter, they're people that believed God. And you know what they found? They found because they believed God, some of them were tortured, some of them died. And yet they're heroes of faith because they believed God. The basis of pleasing God has always been faith, to take God at his word. But there is a belief that pleases God, and that is that God is a faithful God. It begins with the existence that he is and that his nature is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I was reminded about Jeremiah 29 after God told through Jeremiah's prophecy, there'd be 70 years where the captives would be in Jerusalem, or in the land of Babylon. And then they would eventually be brought back, some of them repatriated. And Jeremiah gives these words, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, to bring you to an expected end." And God says this. God says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And I realize we are not Israel. I realize that we have not been promised a return from captivity. Though, who knows what the week's events will be. We may one day feel like we're going to have to have that event. But this is the way God does work, that if you seek the Lord, he is seeking you. If you really want to know God, do you want to have his best for your life? He isn't far if you seek him. Yeah, we sang the other Sunday, we sang "Seek Ye First." There are three different verses to that chorus that we sing. It's taken right from the Bible. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's Matthew 6:33. And then there's another one is, "Ask and it shall be given." That's Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." And I wonder if that's your heart's desire. Proactive is the second value. There's a third value. Here's the third one. The third value is balanced. We strive to obediently balance grace and truth, developing healthy followers of Jesus Christ. Now, this is spiritual balance. Grace. Truth. If you can't have all grace and no truth. But if you have all truth and no grace, you've missed it as well. Healthy people are balanced people, spiritually healthy people, with grace and truth. And we want to make sure that we are true to the truth and also true to God's grace. So there's spiritual balance. There's another kind of balance described there, and that is generational balance. Because we want to see this happen in all generations. And then there's scope balance, I'll call it, ministry scope, reach. That is so that not just here, but all around the world, and we want to see God do this locally, regionally, and globally. The scripture that goes with this is Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission passage. In fact, let's lift our voices and say it together, shall we? Go ye therefore and teach disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, when you read this, you notice that go ye therefore and teach, and I put this in the bracket, literally disciples of all nations. The term that's used there is a term that is used four times in your New Testament. One time it's used of Joseph of Arimathea. It's a noun who is described as a disciple. Another time it is used of the apostles when they were going and they were making a ministry on one of their ministry trips. And they were making a rerouting around to a church where they had been. And the Bible says that they went there and they taught many. And the word is the same term. It means to disciple. So they were discipling people as they were making their, just really encouraging and reaffirming that church. Another time this term is used is Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. It's used as a verb, and it's translated in our Bible for the word instruction. And the word that is described, or the word that is translated here, teach, which is the command in this passage, really is teaching people to be followers of Jesus. And it involves instruction, but it's not just telling people, it is teaching people how to follow the Lord Jesus as disciples. Mathetuo is the word. And so, go ye therefore assumes that we're telling people about Jesus, and the command is to teach these who come to Christ as disciples of all nations. This is for us, sometimes we use this expression, evangelistic discipleship. So that we want to reach people for Christ. And this is a burden that I have. It's a burden that honestly, because of the COVID-19, it just seems like everything is distant. And, you know, it just the dynamic of interacting with people is so strange. And it's, now there are a lot of strange people. There's no doubt about that. But there have always been strange people. I mean, look around. But reaching out to people in evangelism, and then at the same time helping those people who come to the Lord become healthy followers, and all of us being disciples who are growing in Christ and also disciplers who are discipling and impacting other lives. So as a congregation, we want to be balanced with evangelistic discipleship, and then we want to be balanced, and I note that's the command. And then I want you to notice the connection so that those who come to Christ, they are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They then become followers of Christ and proclaim that to be so and part of a local assembly. This passage also reminds us of accountability, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So you know what to do and you do it, and there are others sharing with you to encourage you in it. And then there is comfort. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And that tells us something about continuation, because Jesus looks beyond this age and he goes to the future age and he says, as long as people are to be reached and discipled and connected to the local assembly and to one another, as long as we're teaching people to observe the things that God has commanded, as long as I'm with you, you're going to carry this on until the end of the age, the end of the world, so that it carries on from generation to generation to generation to generation. And in every generation, in every individual's life, we have to decide, am I going to choose in my generation, in my life, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody can choose that for you. It's not a formula that if you push the right buttons, everyone's going to have a heart to turn to the Lord. Oh, I've gotten over that long ago. Because this is a choice that for which everyone is responsible. And I hope that you understand the responsibility you have before God for the choice you make. Well, beyond that, let's go to our next value, and that is relational. Of the four, we did four. I told you this morning a little bit about this. We originally had four, but we thought we're missing something here that doesn't necessarily reflect who we are or the desire that we have. And so we came up with this word relational. Let me read it for you. We desire to be a community of individuals who are growing in a personal relationship with God and investing in meaningful relationships with others. And I think it's significant that with this, there is a responsibility and an emphasis on growing individually. Are you growing? Are you in your spiritual journey and in your personal life the same person you were a year ago? Are you the same person? I hope not. I hope not. Not that you weren't good. I mean, you're fine. You're fine. But don't you want to grow in your life? Don't you want to go beyond where you, and keep growing? So that's your relationship with God. But then they're growing relationally with others and investing our lives with people. The scripture with this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know, I've had you say every one of these scriptures except this one. I don't want you to miss out. Let's say it. All right, here we go. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And so I want to ask you this question about your relationship with God. Are you converted? You're in church. Well, of course you're in church. Because you're in church, does it mean you've been converted to Christ? If you're not converted, my friend, don't miss it. And then if you are converted, are you continuing in a walk with Christ? But then John describes for us in this passage of Scripture your relationship with people. Are you making a significant investment in other people? In your adult Bible class, your kids' Sunday school class, are you investing in the relationships that you have there? Are there other relationships? You're investing in people. Then there's one more value I want to talk about today. And it is, the final one is grounded. Grounded. With roots sunk deep in a commitment to Scripture, we want to grow and thrive while remaining grounded in the unchanging truth from our unchanging God. And you can see the picture of it, can't you? Think of the tree. And there's the tree, and what you see above the surface is beautiful tree, and you see the trunk, and you see the branches, and you see the leaves. But if you could pull aside and take a perspective of under the ground, what do you see under the ground? Supporting the beautiful tree that you see, you'll see an extensive root system. And I want you to know that for us, we always want to find our roots sunk deep into Scripture. I hope you're reading the Word, memorizing the Word. I hope you are asking God, even as you, in your the classes you're involved in, if you're involved in discipling groups, you're involved in whatever way you're involved in the ministry of the Word, and you're all here, we're hearing preaching together. I hope that you understand that if you want to have this beautiful, fruitful, strong life above the surface, what makes it possible is when there are roots sunk deep below the surface. Thinking and growing and yielding deeply guided by the word. And for us, this is such a key principle for us with our roots deep in the scripture. You know, we live in a relativistic society, and if there's ever a time that we need to be grounded, it is now. Because God is still God. God is still absolutely true. And whatever the world around us calls it, if God calls it right, it's right. If God calls it wrong, it's wrong. And have you found that we are inundated with a value system that is so far from God's value system that it is easy to, can I use this expression? It is easy to become brainwashed. The author, the Apostle Paul, describes it this way, that we are, we follow after the rudiments of this world. And we need discernment greatly. Greatly do we need discernment. And so as a congregation, we want to be people that are grounded because God is absolutely true and truth is eternal. And our roots are in an unchanging God and His unchanging word. The scripture for this is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Let's say it together, shall we? Here we go. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so we are grounded in faith. We walk in faith. We grow in faith. We're grateful in faith. And as a congregation, we want to be a church that is grounded. Now, you have in your bulletin today, you have all five of these listed on a piece of paper that looks like this. You see the really nice green to blue gradations there. Isn't that great? And you look at it, and these five core values: distinct, proactive, balanced, relational, grounded. What is it that brings about spiritual and healthy unity in a congregation? Is it that we all attend to church at the same time? No, we do all attend pretty much at the same time. We have to say, is that what brings about healthy spiritual unity? Not necessarily. There may be other things you could think through. What are things that we would say bring about healthy spiritual unity? But really, healthy spiritual unity comes in this. When people agree together with the principles that are right. And if we would agree that we as a church need to understand that God's way is for us to be distinct, do we agree on that? Do we agree with God on that? And proactive, do we agree with God that we want to be people of faith? Do we agree with God that we want to be balanced? Do we agree with God that we need to have healthy relationships with Him and with others, relational and grounded in an unchanging God, in His unchanging word, rooted deeply in Scripture? And you know what? When we agree on those things, there will be healthy spiritual unity. Now, we won't maybe agree on every application of everything, right? Because there is no doubt that that person beside you is wrong sometimes. You don't think that's nearly as funny as I do. Sure, we don't always agree on every application of everything and what that means, but I'll tell you, there are some things about which we can agree. And healthy spiritual unity takes place when we agree on those things that God is very clear about and we stand together with one another in them. Now that is a faithful, God-honoring church and God-honoring people, and that's what you want to be. With that said, would you stand with me? And I'm going to lead us in prayer and we'll be done.